Chapter 4. Helia, the Blessed Isles. 18 months after Viego's coronation. Urlok Grail scowled as he walked the vault halls, deep below Helia. Chains and keys rattled at his belt, and the flickering light of his lantern cast a dancing array of shadows around him, like so many cavorting spirits and demons. Far from being unnerved by them, he felt a measure of comfort in their presence. For nearly 15 years, they had been his companions, his cohort, his cadre. They were his silent witnesses, his confidants, his co-conspirators. Sometimes the shadows seemed to judge him, and in the darkness there were times when they whispered to him, filling him with hateful urges and ever more violent thoughts. He paused to rattle a heavy wooden door on its hinges, checking that it was locked. Holding his lantern aloft, he peered through the door's barred window. All the cell contained was a padlocked iron chest placed in the center of the floor. Grail cast his lantern back and forth, banishing the gloom lingering in the corners of the cell, ensuring that nothing untoward lurked there. Satisfied, he moved on. This was his life as a lowly warden of thresholds. He was tasked to walk the dark halls and passages below the city of Helia, ensuring that artifacts deemed important or dangerous enough to be hidden from the world remained so. Insultingly, it was not even the most potent of these artifacts that he guarded, only the lesser ones. He'd been given no opportunity to distinguish himself, and his petty direct superior, Prefect Maxim, took delight in undermining and belittling him at every turn. The masters had lied. They had not sent him here for a short year or two in order to learn humility or empathy. There would never be an opportunity for him to prove he had grown from this experience. He'd long since acknowledged that he'd been sent here to disappear. They had brushed him out of sight and wanted to forget he even existed. He continued on his lonely patrol, checking that doors were locked, ensuring that seals remained unbroken. It was possible to go weeks at a time without seeing another living soul down here in the darkness. In shifts, each vault warden patrolled their own assigned section. There were hundreds of leagues of tunnels in the sunless depths, spread across dozens of levels, so it was uncommon for one to encounter another, unless by intent. Grail preferred to avoid the others. He despised them. On its surface, Helia was a wondrous place of beauty and learning, where fresh-faced young scholars and robed masters pursued and preserved knowledge, an intellectual utopia of peace and plenty. Scratch beneath, however, and the fetid nepotism and hypocrisy of the Fellowship were revealed. While maintaining the pretense that the Fellowship of Light was one of egalitarian learning, the Inner Circle labored hard to keep its deepest mysteries buried. Grail had made it his mission to claim these secrets for himself, and the deeper he delved, the more he discovered. Grail would exhume these secrets like corpses. Anything the masters put so much effort into hiding was surely of immense power. Who were they to decide what knowledge ought to be shared and what was concealed? The hubris was profound. The masters of the Inner Circle were hoarding this power for themselves, guarding it jealously. He should have been part of that coterie. He should have been embraced into its fold 15 years ago, but they had instead decided to grant that honor to Tyrus of Hellismore. Tyrus! The man was an idiot. He did come from wealth and standing, however, whereas Grail had come from nothing. And while Grail had once believed that his superior intellect and scholarly acumen would see him rise to the top, he had become convinced that the masters would never have embraced him into their number. He didn't have the right connections, wealth, or heritage, and people like him were excluded. The humiliation still gnawed at him. The tunnels Grail patrolled extended far, worming their way beneath the surface. It was a warren, and for all his explorations, there was still so much that remained hidden. Helia was like a rotten stump, riddled with termites. It was decaying from the inside out, built upon a foundation of cronyism and complacency. It was only a matter of time before it collapsed. Grail was in no way a devout man. He paid fealty to no god. He saw piety as a desperate fear of what came after death, a desire for false comfort in the face of the truth. That there was no grand purpose to life, that the world was an uncaring, cold place, and that whether one lived or died meant nothing. And yet Grail, nonetheless, prayed he would be there when the Blessed Isles fell. He continued on his route, walking the silent hallways, accompanied only by his entourage of shadows and his bitterness. The endless tunnels were a twisting, confusing labyrinth, though after all these years he knew them well. When he'd first joined the ranks of the Wardens, he had frequently become lost. On one occasion he'd been stuck in the dark for 3 days after his lantern had run out of oil. He'd felt his way forward with his hands, and it was only thanks to luck that he'd eventually found his way out. It was not uncommon for wardens to perish down here, particularly those new to the calling. In those first years, he'd relied on maps, chalk markings on walls and floors, and spools of thread to guide him. Now he didn't need them. He knew his patrol routes by rote, and had even, on occasion, taken to walking the way in pitch darkness to challenge himself. He knew every uneven step, every misaligned stone, and even without his sight, he did not so much as trip. In his spare time, when he wasn't feverishly flicking through forbidden tomes and scrolls he'd secreted from locked vaults, searching for the secrets the masters hid, he delved deep into the labyrinth, well beyond his own assigned levels, exploring and testing the boundaries. It was impossible to gauge the passage of time down in the depths, nor even to know whether it was night or day. No light reached any but the uppermost levels, through cunningly crafted shafts that speared up to the surface. A handful of hallways had narrow window slits looking out across the sea, and while one could see little through them, the fresh breeze, laden with salt and spray, was a welcome reprieve from the stagnant, dry air of the vaults. Of course, those locations were highly favored and guarded only by the highest-ranking wardens, those who, through bribes and favors, had wormed their way to the top. Even the cell where he slept and kept his meager possessions was in the all-consuming darkness. When he snuffed out his lantern, he could not even see his hand waving before his face. Too long in the blackness, and the mind started to play tricks on you. Deprived of visual stimulation, it would create images of its own, drawn from the depths of memory and the deepest corners of the soul. It was not uncommon for wardens to lose themselves to madness. Finishing his long, winding patrol, his fingertips absently brushing the cold stone, he began heading back toward his cell. Other wardens would go straight to the communal mess halls when their shifts ended. Those meals were generally the only time they came into contact with living beings, but Grail only subjected himself to the presence of others when necessary. He had jugs of water and several weeks' worth of dried foodstuffs in his room. He would take his meal alone. And besides, he was eager to continue scouring the latest tomes he had purloined from a vault of the Lower East Levels just a few days back. He was descending a narrow, spiraling staircase cut through solid stone when he heard something below. He paused, hastily shuttering his lantern, hiding its light. He stood there for long minutes, listening. Nothing. Had he been mistaken? It was certainly possible. Sound traveled strangely in the tunnels, making it hard to gauge the distance and direction of a noise. There were also plenty of unexplainable knocks, creaks, groans, and footsteps that echoed through the darkness. He waited a moment longer, then was ready to continue on his way when he heard it again. This time there could be no doubt. Someone was speaking in a low voice. Keeping his lantern shuttered, Urlok Grail crept down the stairs as silently as he was able, then turned down the corridor toward his cell. He heard muttering, and there was a crack of breaking wood. His face twisted in anger as he rounded the last corner and saw light spilling from his room. He'd locked the door before commencing his rounds some 9 hours earlier. The heavy padlock securing it lay broken on the stone. There was another crash from within, and Grail picked up his pace, striding furiously. His eyes were wild and full of hate as he stepped over the threshold of his cell. It had been ransacked. His desk drawers had been pulled out, their contents upended onto the floor. His heavy chest had been dragged out from under his bed, its lock smashed, and the clothes and books inside scattered. The bed itself had been violently yanked away from the wall, his bed sheets and blankets ripped from the hard mattress. He saw instantly that the secret compartment at the bottom of the chest had been found. The flagstone concealing the carved niche behind his bed had also been discovered. That wasn't good. Wardens like him were tasked with guarding the artifacts and tomes locked away in the vaults. Banishment awaited any who removed anything from the vaults without the express written permission of the masters. And he'd been doing it for years. And here, in his cell, all the evidence of his crimes had been laid bare. His face red, his eyes bulging, Grail stared at the muttering, bald figure of the warden who had uncovered his wrongdoings. The man was on his knees, rifling through his notebooks. He looked up. It was Prefect Maxim. His face was fleshy and pale, and he wore an expression of undisguised glee. Long had he made Grail's life a misery, seeking to break him. And long had Grail resisted, enduring every petty torment the prefect had inflicted upon him. Maxim licked his lips, as if savoring a delightful morsel.
This is the end for you, Grail,